Amen and amen. If you will, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and the verses of focus today will be verses 8 and 9. The elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whoever he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Verses 8 to 9 is our focus today. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The title of the sermon is Satanic War Against the Church. There are two powers in the world today: darkness versus light. They are too contrary towards each other. There are two authorities in the world today: the authority of the devil and the authority of God. And the god of this world, the devil, has authority only to them who are perishing. Only them who are not born of God. And I want to share something with you, is that if one rejects Christ as Lord, your father and ruler is the devil, is Satan, a very real present enemy. Satan, devil, Beelzebub, the evil one. Lucifer was an angel created by God who turned against God's authority. Isaiah 14:13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. He turned against God's authority and become the head of a kingdom of evil spirits called demons, his angels. Matthew 25:41. His power both in the heavenly realm and earth is great and should not be underestimated. However, while Satan and his forces are serious enemies, Jesus Christ crushed Satan's power, fulfilling the prophecy of Genesis 3:15. And the cross of Christ won the victory. John 12:31. The prince of the world now stands condemned, according to John 16:11. And Jesus will one day destroy Satan's power completely and purify creation. 2 Peter 3:10. Now, there is a very good reason why Scripture teaches us to put on the full armor. Not partial armor, the full armor of God. Because we have a very real enemy. That if we don't have the full armor of God on, you become an easier target to demonic attacks. In the words of Pastor, a truth I will return to. It's a very real war. A very real battle. A very real presence as well that demons play in the fallen world. Don't think for one second that you can stand and fight in your own might against the rulers of darkness. I assure you, you will lose. I assure you, they're more powerful than you. The devil will war against the elect to save every last one of his own children of disobedience. Satan has great wrath and roars as a roaring lion, according to 1 Peter 5:8. And we surely live in a day where many take light the very real presence of the demonic and its warfare. And it shows. Satan surely can get into the sinner's personal life. I think insane asylums and mental hospitals are filled with people today who are demon-controlled. And I think at the things we see in our own culture, mass murder, suicide, which are very often related to demonic involvement. Satan enters into people and influences them to do extreme things against God. To hate God. Example, look at Judas. Judas got possessed. Why? To oppose God. To hate God. To kill the Son of God. To kill Christ. And Satan is still doing this very same thing today. Don't think for one minute he doesn't want to destroy the people of God. Most Christians walk defeated. They need all kinds of medications to help them cope because they are not casting their cares upon the Lord. Most of the times, you know, why the reasons why people are not overcoming their anxieties and depression and stress. They run to the world and get medication for their help. Christ surely is sufficient. Verse 7 talks about that we cast all our cares upon the Lord. Our anxieties, our problems, we cast it upon the one who deals with those problems. And when we don't fully put on the armor of God correctly, you're allowing satanic snares for you to fall into and allow it to have dominion over you and have control of your mind. You're not truly steadfast in the faith. As I said, most Christians walk defeated. They live selfishly. They truly have no passion for evangelism. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, that is not my gift. They have no passion for evangelism, no passion for prayer. I was in part of a former church of members of over 160 people, and midweek prayer service, we only had 4 to 5 people within 160 members of a church, of which the majority of all of them lived locally. We live in a day that people don't have passion for church. They think they are good on their own. I have met many street preachers in my life that have no desire to be part of a church because they're looking for that perfect church. They walk ignorant of Scripture, and they're more succumbed to satanic attacks, being ignorant of the Word of God. It's a problem with those who don't serve the Lord boldly, approaching God boldly in prayer, and towards His will zealously manifest something. They manifest one thing, they truly don't love God in two things. They're either unsaved or in the midst of drifting away from God, defeated by the darts of the demonic. The devil is raging a continual war against the saints tirelessly. Restlessly. Though we walk in victory, never put your guard down. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Peter informs us that the church has an adversary. An adversary is an enemy. You, church, today have a very real enemy who has real power, who wants to destroy you, who wants to destroy your family, who wants to destroy the church, who wants to destroy the leadership, destroy its members. He'll do everything he to do to bring in wolves, to do everything he can to destroy the doctrine of sound doctrine. This enemy is one that we are fighting against, one that we contend with. Verse 9 is that one that we are to resist. The devil has become our enemy because of our transformation in Christ Jesus. Because of our transformation, that changed the very course of our life. We now have a spiritual nature. When you're unsaved, the devil surely doesn't feel like your enemy. You are his child. You are part of his family. Sin surely has dominion, or in other words, control over you. You aren't a threat to the demonic. When the Lord saves us, we radically got removed from the devil's grip. We became born again, a child of God, and no longer a child of the devil. 1 Peter 2:9 called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has called us out of darkness, transplanting us into his marvelous light, which is only found in Christ Jesus. In our unsaved past, we lived in darkness. We lived in the very realm where Satan rules. For the entire world is in this very grip of Satan, in the grip of the evil one. Darkness was your dwelling place. 1 John 5:19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. But because of God's great mercy, he took us out of darkness and planted us into his light. Now, look at what Paul has to say concerning this. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in the time past ye walked in time past, according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. God transplanted us out of darkness, out of our deadness, and made us, the church, alive in Christ. The spirit we had was working disobedience. But now, as the elect whom God has called has given us a new spirit, and that spirit is unto obedience. One of the manifesting signs of those who are living in disobedience and claim they believe in Jesus Christ, they are truly not of God. Test all spirits to see if they're of the Lord. He who has not the spirit of Christ is none of his. One of the evidences that you believe in Jesus Christ is that you want to follow his word. The great warning of Matthew 7 is those who make a profession of him and claim they did things in his name never were doing his will, but working their own will. Their condemnation was that, what did Jesus say to them? I never knew you. Charles Spurgeon says that God never cared for you. God, I never knew you, God says. I never knew you. You were never part of my fold. Ye workers of iniquity. Though you claim you were doing it in my name, your entire time working, being a minister of unrighteousness, highly influenced by the demonic, controlled by the demonic, and Satan was your authority. John 8:42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. Some professing believers, all Christ-denying religions, though they make a profession on a belief their father isn't God of the Bible, because if God were your father, you would live a life unto obedience unto the God of the Bible, and that one is in Jesus Christ alone. Now, church, the one who we are to wage war against is the devil, because he surely is our enemy. The demonic have many wicked controls. And I believe one of the major controls the demonic has is over sexuality as well. The reason many are murdering their child is because they are having, and by committing abortion, is because of fornication. The reason why many marriages are ending is because of adultery. The reason why kids are going astray is because many things such as immodesty, and which creates lustful desires, they go astray. It's pushed upon the culture. Music, everything is highly influenced by the demonic to get people away from God. And one of the greatest tools the devil of all hell uses is sexual immorality. Sexual entertainment. homosexuality, which is a growing pandemic in this country, if not the whole world. Sin of sexual confusion over gender identity. Sexual sin is the one of Satan's frontline usages to deceive many and get a stronger grip of them so that they fall into greater depravity. Satan making it out that being masculine is toxic. This surely isn't funny, but heartbreaking and devastating. Oh, surely does it anger the God of all creation. The devil from the beginning is to make men question God's designs and commands. Peter in verse 8 tells us to be sober, and we are to be perfectly aware and alert that Satan is our enemy, and he is seeking a person who he may control and devour. He's speaking to believers in this context. You need to understand that though Satan controls the unbelievers, he surely can devour the believer. There will be no reason why we are called to resist. There'll be no reason why to put on the full armor of God. He's a very real threat. It is a very real war, and it's a daily one. Peter, in verse 8, tells us to be sober. And we are to be perfectly aware and alert that Satan is our enemy. And he's seeking a person who he control and devour. Satan roars because he's hungry to eat you. He's hungry to devour you. So pay attention of your enemy and keep the faith. We need to understand something in the name devil. His name means accuser, slanderer. If the Holy Spirit is our advocate, the devil is our prosecutor. Just look at Revelation 12:10. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuse them before our God day and night. Non-stop. He doesn't stop. In this world, adversary, it refers as Satan being malicious, which conveys that Satan is wanting to harm you, harm the church. He's not only described as our enemy, but the false accuser and a slanderer. What Satan does is that he slanders God to man, and as he did in the Garden of Eden, Satan in the garden casting doubt to Eve. Hath God said, or other words, did God really say that? Devil wanting you to question the very authority of God. Clay to question the potter. How persuasive then is the devil? To be able, in the very presence of God in heaven, to convince the third of the angels to follow me, Satan, and not him who's upon the throne. How convincing is his argumentation? God cast him down out of heaven to earth, and we find him here behind the powers, behind the serpent. Verse 8 continues, says that Satan walketh about, and he doesn't stop. Notice in Job 1:7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. We need to understand that Peter is revealing Satan as restlessly looking for someone who he can use, deceive, and end outcome destroy. And as a Christian, I want you to understand something, that you can never escape this war. It is a constant spiritual battle. Surely is a warfare. In this world, church, we must not be friendly with the works of evil. Don't pat the back of the satanic roaring lion's works of darkness. Don't listen to evil counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to false science. Don't feed yourself with Darwinism. Don't feed yourself to the enemy's deception, which is very cunning and crafty. Do not open your mind to all the kinds of evil. And as Peter says in verse 9, resist. Just like a lion prowling around seeking whoever he can eat, Satan is seeking to eat those who would heed his roaring voice. If you knew that there was a lion walking about outside, you would be more careful. No parent will let their kids go outside. You do everything you can to protect what's yours and give warnings to those about a very real threat. Listen, Satan is far more dangerous than a physical lion. Let me remind you that Satan is the ruler of this world. What is Satan doing on this earth? He's blinding minds, corrupting God's word, creating people to doubt God, and he's opposing God's work. He's dividing families. He's sowing division among the brethren. He's spreading false doctrine. He's deceiving the nations. He's attacking true saving faith. And he attacks the heart of repentance and persecuting the church. He's truly walking about deceiving anyone who isn't spiritually shielded. Martha Luther said, "Let me tell you why I believe in a personal devil, because I do wrestle with him every day." Satan wants you to keep you with little faith or to become faithless. He desires to make counterfeit Christians, false apostles, false brethren who come in and bring about damnable heresies. 2 Corinthians 11, 13, 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Not only does Satan use his children to be counterfeit Christians, he sets up traps. To attack leadership as well in the church. 1 Timothy 3:7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Again, in regarding to leadership qualification, chapter 3:7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. As you see, according to 1 Timothy 3:7, we see Satan setting up traps in the church leadership. Satan surely attacks the church and desires to destroy the unity, destroy the church working together to create that unity. If you only have one voice in the church for many years, I assure you that Satan is behind it. To make a church really not a church at all. You just come, sit down, no participation at all, no church at all. You're just there for a speaker. There's no body, there's no arm, there's no legs working, there's no eyes working, there's no ears working. Oh, Satan is very busy. You only hear the one of one judgment. The one speaker. Satan surely doesn't mind that. because it knows that if you get a whole body working together, it will mature and bring greater unity, according to Ephesians 4:11. Satan surely is behind it. When a church member aren't building up each other's in spiritual gifts that God has given each and every one of us, it keeps the church from growing in unity. Why is the church not growing then? The church isn't acting as a church, as I stated. Not only is Satan's goal is to destroy the unity, but to destroy the power of the church and the purpose of the church, to create confusion. So Satan comes at individuals, he comes at family, he comes at church leaders, and he attacks the church. With all that being said, Satan is limited, because he cannot do anything unless God permits. God isn't struggling over equality with Satan. God isn't playing tug of war with Satan. There is only one sovereign. Remember that Satan is created being, and that God is the creator of Satan. Not the other way around. There is only one almighty, powerful God that is in Christ. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't want anyone here fearing Satan. That's not my goal. But I want you to fear God alone. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he, that is Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Hebrews 2:15, and deliver them, in other words, free them, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subjects to bondage, chains to sin. 1 Peter 5:9 then states, church, that we are to then resist. In order to resist the devil, you need to be able to identify him, and we need to know his strategy, and we must be very understanding of Satan's final destiny. We are to resist him. Why? How then? Why? Simple. He will overtake you. You will live a defeated life. But how do you resist him? Scripture teaches, being steadfast in our faith. What does it mean to be steadfast? It means to be loyally faithful. In the time of resisting, if you go back to verse 7 in 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your cares upon him. Now Peter states next in verse 9, the word knowing. Knowing what? That the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. How comforting that is. Peter wants you to know that you are not being singled out. Other brothers in the faith are dealing with the same roar of the demonic oppression. This war and our fight against wickedness is really normal Christianity. We don't surrender to Satan's wrath. We fight by faith, and that's how we resist. We submit to Christ's lordship. He is our Lord, and we should be steadfast in faith to his lordship. One of the fundamental things of how we resist is by prayer. by standing upon the authority of Scripture. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The word resist means to stand up against. Take your stand against. We live in a day that charismatics that reject the word of God believe they can bind Satan up. They can tie him up, meaning. How can you tie up Satan? Where are you getting this nonsense? It isn't biblical. You cannot bind up Satan. You cannot claim it that Satan is bound by what you say. The attack is still coming. The attack is still coming. If he's bound, did the trouble stop then? No, it's still coming because he isn't tied up by your name it and claim it words. We live in a day that charismatics that reject the word of God believe they can tie Satan up by claiming they can bind them. You can name it and claim it, but it's not going to help you. You don't tie Satan up. You resist him by being firm and steadfast in the faith. That's exactly what you do. Our war isn't in our flesh, but it's spiritual war. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. There is no fleshly strategy against Satan. There's no mental strategy against Satan. There's no physical strength against Satan. Listen, there's no verbal strategy against Satan. You can't say words to him and then make him run. He doesn't fear you. Second Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought we have, we take it captive to the obedience of Christ. We aren't resisting right today. Many. We should know the truth and obey the truth. Satan is to be resisted. Any enemy that comes against me or you, we are called to be steadfast in truth by faithfulness. For the sake of time, I can't break down in detail chapter 6 in Ephesians touching on this as a church putting on the full armor of God, but let me share with you a few things. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's a divinely powerful weaponry. You are called to be strong in the Lord. You're not going to overcome the wicked one if you are not strong in the Lord. It's coming, and he's coming with power. You best be strong in faith. Is Jesus your Lord today? Verse 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How are we to stand firm? Be firm knowing the truth. Verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is us obeying the truth. As soon as you are unrighteous, your breastplate is off. You are not girding yourself in truth. You truly need the full armor of God, and that's the point. The enemy is a very real enemy in closing. He's a very real presence and a powerful attack, but God is almighty. This war, church, is a very real war. We are called to be sober, to be alert. May we die to ourselves daily and be found faithful to the only God and Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have victory to overcome any demonic threat. May we, church, resist being found steadfast in faith. May we look unto Jesus always, who alone could defeat and has defeated the wicked one. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time that I can give forth your word, Lord, and I don't have excellency of speech, but Lord, I desire that your word to be glorified and magnified. Help us, Lord, to steadfast, to resist the devil, to resist demonic opposition, to be faithful by putting the full armor of God. No matter any type of demonic attack, help our faith to be strong in you and you to be our Lord, not just in title, but a definitive term that you are ruler. You are our authority. We are obedient unto you. Unwavering. Unmovable. Steadfast in faith in you. Thank you for this time that those who are here, Lord, bless us all. We give you all glory and praise. Amen and amen.
One more thank you, brother.